That week flew by with two different morning dates and Tom helping Marcy in the shop every night. They were all pleased to hear Melvin's surgery went well and he'd be home by the weekend. They were all worried about how Melvin would recover, but October had been pushing to hire another handyman around the ranch, and this seemed like a good time. Tom recommended the woodworker he knew, Cole Carpenter, and promised that although Cole might be a little grumpy, he'd be able to handle all the tasks around the ranch until Melvin was recovered. They closed the shop for new children 30 minutes before the village closed every evening to give the kids a chance to see a few last-minute things before they left. On Friday evening at supper, shortly before the village opened at 7, as it did every night, Bob talked a little bit about the money being made. So the village has now paid for its construction, which we weren't sure would happen at all this year. Every other dime made goes to the scholarship fund, and we should be able to provide some serious scholarships. That's amazing, April said. We all need a little Christmas. Of course, then she and Dawn had to break into song, singing, "We Need a Little Christmas" from Auntie Mame. What else could they do? No singing at the table, Mom reminded them, but as usual, she was more amused than anything else, and they could all hear it in her voice. There was a commotion then, and Bruni called out, "Honning Jagger Hedgem! Is it Danish month already?" Dawn asked. With her ear for music, she had a better ear for languages than most of her sisters. "Apparently," Bob said. "I wish the woman would just speak English." But he turned and greeted her and Melvin, who had his ankle propped up on a scooter thing, and he was moving toward his chair at the table, which was sitting empty. "You might want to take supper home to him every night instead of making him get out in the snow," Mom said. "Jeg kun," Bruni said. "Jeg for a tracker et verenogen." Dawn giggled and said, "Bruni, I don't think you should be talking about nudity at the supper table." Mom immediately changed the subject. "How are you feeling, Melvin? Have you taken your pain pills?" Melvin nodded, which was the same as a 15-minute monologue from anyone else. "Well, good. We're here if you need us." Melvin nodded again, and Marcy gasped. She'd never seen Melvin even nod twice during a meal. It was so strange to see him communicating. After supper, October helped Bruni get Melvin home, while the rest of them got ready for their evening in the village. Marcy smiled at Tom as they walked toward their job at the Christmas shop. "You don't have to work with me every night, you know." "I know. I kind of like being around you, though," he winked at her. "Village opens early tomorrow, right?" "Yeah, we'll open at 6 instead of 7. I have kids from 9 to noon on Saturdays." She hated that her free time was so limited, but they were all putting in a lot of hours for the Christmas village. She spotted April. "Have you decided on your theme for your tree yet?" April shook her head. "No, and it's killing me. There are a million things I need to be doing, and I don't have time to just sit and brainstorm about the tree." She sighed. "And we have a new Grinch in our midst, and I'm determined to make him love Christmas as much as I do." April? "What?" April asked, looking up from her clipboard for a moment. Marcy didn't know what was on the clipboard, and she was relatively certain she didn't want to know. "No one is ever going to love Christmas as much as you do." "Oh, Santa spit, I know that." April made a shooing motion with her hand. "There are people starting to line up. Get going so we can open up everything on time." Marcy saw her sister was right, and she hurried toward the building, feeling Tom match her pace as they ran. "Are you okay with taking the register again while I help steer the kids toward the stuff their parents will like?" "Of course," he said. He was better with the cash register than getting kids to communicate with him. He was always impressed with Marcy's way with kids. He spent his time between the customers that evening thinking about what he should offer to do with Marcy the next day. She had 6 whole hours free, and he wanted to take advantage of them. What he really wanted was to drag her off somewhere and ask her to marry him, but he was pretty sure she'd think that was too soon. He watched her with each of the children and smiled, thinking about what a good mother she would be. Her job was flexible enough, he was sure she could take the baby with her when he was young. He could almost picture her with a child in her arms. "Hey, mister!" There was a tug on his jacket sleeve. He looked down at the little boy there. "Yes?" "My mama won't tell me what she wants for Christmas." "She won't?" "What did she say when you asked her?" he asked. "She said she needs an angel sitting on her shoulder, helping her make good decisions." The boy shrugged. I don't know what that means. Tom smiled. I think I have just the right thing.